Well, good morning, everybody. I'm just so thrilled to be here with you today, and I'm going to have to darken that font, aren't I? To be sharing with you just a little bit about the Word. I'm sure in lessons like this that your mind will wander and you'll be thinking of things as well. And today I invite you to just post in some thoughts as we go along. It's going to be one of these type of communal lessons. I'm recording, but if you think of anything at all, throw it in. We won't get sidetracked into your thought. We'll just add it, as it were, as an embellishment to the main offering. So if you can think of anything and just type it in, you'd be free to do so today. I won't stop and interrupt the audio, but certainly we'll continue with the lesson. But you're most welcome to throw in some thoughts. Now, I've read earlier, or we read earlier, from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And Jehovah said to Abram, "Go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you." Now, the point I want to make from this verse is that there were two characters in this story, God and Abram. And you know what, friends? In our walk of faith, there are two main characters. Now, I'm not helping us all to become egotistical about all this and self-centered. Not at all, for indeed we have to love others, don't we, as the command is given. But no, I'm talking today about the fact that you and I, each of us individually, has a walk of faith. And the walk of faith has indeed, is a walk of faith that relates between you and God himself. You see, this in fact is a calling, isn't it? A walk of faith is associated with a calling. Abram was called by God. And he was told to go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house. And of course, I think it could be a simple point to us all that maybe not all of us have a family that is indeed a family of faith. And when we're walking with our Heavenly Father and the calling with which he has called us, then it could be a bit lonely so far as family and nationality is concerned. Do you know what I'm saying? A prophet is not without honour save in his own country and amongst his own family. So, in the life of Abraham, we see some elements of a worthy walk. And it may well be one that is outside the closeness and warmth of family. You know, in the world, family is indeed highlighted as being something, the very core of community. And rightly so. I'm not diminishing family, remember. I'm saying that it could be that in our walk of faith, with us and our Heavenly Father, there may be a spiritual separation from that family into which we were born. Now, in verses 2 and 3, we have the great I wills of God. Abraham hasn't done anything. Abraham has not in any way worked or manifested his faith in action. God simply calls him and says, "This is what I'm going to do." And this is an amazing thing, isn't it? I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless those that bless you and curse the one who curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know what, friends? Faith is an amazing thing, faith, isn't it? Faith does not want a theological explanation of how God's going to do things. Faith is not a scientific examination of what God will do and how he will do it. Faith is that earnest expectation and conviction, do you see, that God can do what he said. Now, this is not our calling, is it? But we're taking some parallels. And I want to come to Ephesians chapter 2. These are wonderful verses for you and I in our walk and in our calling, aren't they? Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Anyone in this room today can explain to me the spiritual processes whereby you and I have been quickened in Christ? I mean, we believe it, don't we? But could you write me an exposition, please, as to precisely how the Spirit did that? And if you've got a problem with that one, well, look at verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, yes, that's the underlying facilitator, grace, isn't it? But how? How? I'm afraid, my dear friend, I'm going to leave that with the Holy Spirit. One of the manifestations of the Godhead, I'm going to leave that to him. He said it's been done. And by faith, I believe that, don't I? What about you? You accept that and believe it today? What about verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2? And has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies. You know, a scientific mind would ask, how's God done this already? You know, God speaks as if the end and the beginning were the same, right? He's placed us in heavenly places. We've been seated together there in Christ. I don't question this. See, faith believes it. Their faith accepts it and embraces it. Faith is that wonderful facilitator of bringing an intense and personal relationship between me and my God. How's your faith today? When we see these things, have you embraced them? And do you believe them without question? That God can do what he says. He can do and will do. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, there's going to be a day, do you see, verse 4, when, since verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3 said we've been raised and seated with Christ, there's going to be a day when Christ will be revealed in that sphere. And we, that's you and me, will be revealed with him in glory. Do you know, friends, I know that for a fact. It's faith that confirms in my heart the word of God and what God has said he can do and will do. Now, I might not know the technicalities, you see. I might not know precisely when I'll be in heavenly places for that appearing. I'd love to be able to know precisely and have it all mapped out. But you see, there comes a time when faith is the reliant element of my walk with my God. Because if God is God, he is who he is, and he can do what he says, and it's just a matter of time, isn't it? So why do we study the Word of God? Why do we do? Because we want this faith to mature and to grow and to be perfected. How does this come about? Hey, let's go back to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. It's a great little chapter, isn't it? And Abram at this point hasn't had his name changed, has he? Abram departed. You know, the first thing Abram did was he believed, obviously, that God was able to do what he said. Verse 4, and Abram departed. That's the first thing he did. There wasn't a... just a moment, God, pardon me for all this, but, I'm very comfortable here. What will the advantages be for me to do that? You know, and there are some people, aren't there, who think that we as Christians are basically just holding on to some pie in the sky when you die. But no, we believe in our Heavenly Father. And here, in the beginning of this walk of Abraham and his God, Abraham gets up and goes. He starts the walk without all the information at his disposal. And friends, this is a great word for you and me today. Please, don't hold back. Don't say, I'm just not going to go forward in my walk and witness. I'm not going to study the word because I can't understand that bit right there. Do you know right now, I'm responding to some questions by, I believe, a younger friend. And I've never received so many questions from anybody in such a short space of time. Now, this friend is coming out of a particular position and he's moving towards Acts 28. And it's like he starts to communicate with me and suddenly thinks of four more other questions and he wants me to answer them all. And it's not possible. The good thing about this young friend is the fact that he has accepted what he's read, but now he wants the explanations and he's on his journey. So what I'm doing is giving him studies and audios to consider as he examines it himself. I give him hints and he's on a journey and full of questions. And you know what? I bet Abram had a few too. And I bet you and I've got a few. There's nothing wrong with questions. But you see, the walk shouldn't stop just because we don't have all the answers. That's the lesson. Abram was 75 years old. Well, there's a few of us, I think, that have wondered why it was that God didn't start revealing some of the real deep things until we got a tad older. don't you know that? That sometimes when we're young and bulletproof and we think we know everything about the Bible and we're going to change the world and everyone else is basically, regrettably, just not quite as astutely aware of the scriptures as we are. boy, didn't we all have to change a little bit over time? But Abram was 75 years old. And don't despair, friends, if in the later in your life, God is now beginning to work and reveal the deeper things. Age is no impediment to a walk of faith and a witness of faith. Well, Abraham took Sarah's wife and quite a few goods and shackles. All their substance and all the souls, and they, pardon me, came into the land of Canaan. You know, in some way, there will always be those who in a peripheral way, take the journey with us. In a peripheral way, they will. But they will never fully appreciate the growth of faith within you and me. They can't, because the journey, remember, from verse 1, is between me and my God. So there will be folk around us. But remember, they're there to be encouraged, they're there to be loved, but they are not there to be an impediment to our journey, our maturing of faith. Please remember this. Very important, isn't it? I don't believe that any of us should cease our spiritual growth because of the family that God has given us. I do not believe God wants me to mark time or to, do you know what I'm saying? To stagnate because I don't want to negatively impact all those around me. And as you know in this story, eventually Lot and Abram had to separate, correct? There might be some painful separations, friend, in your life. But what is the journey? It's a journey of faith between me and God. I am to love and to care and to respect and to honor and to treat Christ-like but I am on my journey, and I can't stand up on that day and say, well, I'm terribly sorry, Heavenly Father, I would have loved to have known more about your purposes and plans, because but the family that you gave me didn't like right division. The people that were in my sphere at my church, they thought, no, you don't go there, no one else does. Love, but do not let anyone in your sphere to be an impediment to the walk. In verse 6 of Genesis chapter 12, we're going to find that there are enemies. Oh dear, give me a break. Yes indeed. You see, Satan and his tribe and his cohorts, they're not originators. But I tell you what, they've got the listening device against the they've got the listening device against God's inner counseling door, waiting for God to reveal something. And when God sent Abraham to a land, you can guarantee that Satan and his enemy and his cohorts knew precisely where that land was, and Satan put his enemies there. There are going to be spiritual foes. Abraham experienced foes who were already in his inheritance. Look, here it is, Genesis 12, verse 6. Abraham arrives into his inheritance. Well, he hasn't even been told it's an inheritance yet. But he goes to the land, and lo and behold, the enemy is there. Are we going to find anything different? No, friends, no. In Colossians chapter 2, in our sphere, something to consider today, I think it's around verse 15. At the ascension of Christ, he stripped principalities and powers. These are the hierarchy in heavenly places. Isn't it Ephesians chapter 6, which says that we wrestle? Abraham was in his inheritance with the Canaanite. In our inheritance, there are enemies. There are going to be those who oppose us. Now, we can't see that everything that happens negatively is, you know, Satan, you know, blocking my path. We're not fully aware of these things. What we need to do is always keep ourselves in prayer and in Bible study. And you notice, I don't specify what you're supposed to be studying in the Bible. Of course we promote right division in our room. But you see, friends, Bible study is the food on which our inner nature builds. Quite often, just like Abram, he came into the land and it was full of the Canaanite. They're already there. And you know, life, family, things, circumstances are all predisposed to make it very, very difficult for us to study the Bible. And I don't mean opening your Bible just before you go to bed and reading a chapter. That is not Bible study. That's reading the Bible. God didn't tell me to read Genesis chapter 1 to the book of Revelation, the last word in Revelation. I'm talking to a guy, neighbour of mine here in this village complex. He said, oh, I've read the Bible from front to cover 4 times. You know, and in the way he said it, there was something which demonstrated to me that it was more a negative thing for him than a positive thing. All he could do was stand up and say, I've read it. I don't know him enough yet to say, what part of it really appealed to you and what part do you know? And what part did you study and what part did you really enjoy? But I'm waiting for the opportunity. He also mentioned Darwin. and the Book of Evolution. And I didn't say that Darwin didn't have one iota of scientific degree from any university. Did you know that? Darwin was a dropout from theological college. Darwin didn't study a thing of science. And Darwin plagiarised his paternal grandfather's book. The Origin of the Species is practically word for word from his paternal grandfather. So he had no study of science and he had no originality in his book, save a little. Check him out. No, friends, we're not here to read the Bible. We're here to study it. His Path 07 up there is having a fabulous time at the moment. Gets on the microphone and she's excited about what she's discovering about horns, the horns of the altar and the horns for anointing and the horn of salvation. And, you know, friends, that may not be something that appeals to you. But the fact is she's studying and learning and looking up passages. And that's what we are meant to do. On our website up there, www.bibleunderstanding.com, there are Bible lessons that will give you a headache. There are other Bible lessons that you will enjoy. Short ones, long ones. But try and study. That's the most important thing. And remember, prayer at the same time. Coming back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the Canaanite was then in the land. Yes, Abraham starts his journey, and lo and behold, the enemy is there. But after Abram's journey, God comes to him again. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your seed. And he built an altar there to Jehovah who appeared to him. Do you see, in a journey of faith, further information is given? Do you see that? Further information is given. Remember, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Abram is told to leave. No explanation given. So Abram gets up and he starts moving. See, that's faith in action, isn't it? Faith don't sit on the pew on Sunday and just sit there and get spoon-fed. I'm terribly sorry. There's nothing wrong with church. There's nothing wrong with going. There's nothing wrong with worshipping with other people. But I can tell you, friends, from bitter experience, that if you are relying on church attendance to build up your faith and to help you in your work, it will do so to a limited degree. Personal faith in action. Your walk is 7/24, isn't it? 24/7, got it around the wrong way. And when we walk, and when we act on what we've been told, along comes God and says, and now I'm going to reveal to you a bit more. Notice, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it's a land. But in verse 7, it's this land. Can you see the progress? You see it? Now, I'm going to come to our calling today, to Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. You know, there are Christians that talk about heaven. I'm going to heaven. Well, you know, that's a reasonable phrase. And we all understand what's being said and what is meant. You see? We know that, don't we? But we begin to grow in understanding. Do you believe that? God says we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. That's not the land that Abraham journeyed to, is it? And as we study, I want us not to ask all the deep questions of God, how are we going to get there, where is it specifically? But we begin Paul speaks about the resurrection of Christ and the power in us. And suddenly more is revealed. We now know that the heavenlies that Paul is talking to is the very place where Christ has been raised and is seated at God's right hand, you see. Do you believe that you and I have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies today? Without necessary explanations of what those blessings are and specifically where and how do you relate to that calling? This is what God has said to us today through Paul. And it's not so much well, can anyone hear me at this point? Anyone? We had a power failure and we resume the lesson. Do you remember, I think I've told you about Nathan Scharf who came to Australia and he sat down and he spoke about Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to go there. Ephesians chapter 3. And he spoke about these particular verses. He spoke about the gospel of Ephesians chapter 3. You know, the fact that Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of a joint body and joint partakers of his promise in Christ. Of this particular gospel, Paul was made a minister. He spoke about the grace given to Paul alone. Paul alone, do you see? To preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the nations. When something's unsearchable, friends, you won't find it in the Old Testament. He spoke about the mystery, which was given to Paul alone, which was hidden in God. I did not know what that man was talking about. But I'm sitting listening to this gentleman who was speaking the word of truth, and I knew that what he was saying was right, but I had no explanation. In fact, I didn't even know the question that I needed to ask. Do you understand that? I sat in an hour and a half Bible study and I did not know what question to ask, let alone what answer I needed. I had no idea, but I knew it was right. See, that's that wonderful interrelationship between God, the Holy Spirit, and my heart and the faith, that germ of faith that I had. I had a germ of faith that was right. And I started to pursue it. Well, of course, now I don't have the questions. I've pretty well got a lot of the answers. But when did they come? They came when I responded to God's leading in my life by the Spirit. They came when I started stepping my foot out and I said, well, not a lot of people like this, but I tell you what, I like it. And you know, what's the journey, friends? The journey is not between you and your husband, your sister, your brother, your auntie, and God. It's between me. It's between you and God. Full stop, no extension. The journey of faith is intensely personal. Yes, we must show love to those around us, but my walk with my God is my... I can't tell you your journey. It's not my job to say what you should be doing and believing. It's my connection with Him. He's going to lead me to, just like He led Abram. Let's go back to Genesis 7. I want to show you something from Genesis 12 in verse 7 again. And I don't want you to go rushing off and, you know, building an altar. But do you see, the journey for Abram included further revelation. It was a land in verse 1, it's this land in verse 7, and there Abram built an altar. You see, my worship, my faith expressing itself in praise to God is part of my journey, isn't it? As, yes, that's it, thanksgiving. You see, the praise and the worship comes from faith that has been perfected and matured, and with that, as that, that's a response, isn't it? God reveals, we give thanks. The journey grows. The faith grows. I don't know your situation this morning. I don't know what your life is like. Each and every one of us share difficulties that we face. Well, Genesis 12:6, the Canaanite was then in the land. And in verse 8, Abram's still building. As he journeys now, he's building altars, isn't he? As he's journeying, he is giving praise because he is going forward. And Abram journeyed, going on, and pulled up stakes towards the south, Genesis 12, verse 9. And now we're going to have not physical enemies, but we're going to have famine. Here he is in the place of blessing, and there is famine. We can draw some spiritual applications here, friends, because let me tell you, there have been times in my experience when suddenly things ceased. I have no idea why. The growth of information stopped. I've still had faith. And you know what, friends? Maybe there are times in our life when, you know, the joy of our salvation is perhaps not as full and as joyous as it was in the past. That's a part of the journey, isn't it? Isn't that a part of the growth? You see, there are segments of time when we need to confirm and establish fully what we have learned. We can't. Let me give you an example from my own experience, and you will have them in yours as well. Told you it was an easy lesson today, but you know there are going to be trials. The Canaanite was in the land, verse 6, and now there's a famine. So there are obstacles, physical opponents, in our case spiritual opponents. And then there is the destitution of daily needs that can impact our faith. Let's face it, we're all so much stronger Christians when there's food on the table, correct? We're all such better Christians when we've got the comforts we need. It's easier to give worship and thanks then, isn't it? So a hiatus in provision maybe, a delay in the provision of our needs is an opportunity, do you see, friends, to embrace and affirm in the heart of faith that what God has spoken to us is ours and we hold it dear. Now there is, do you see here, such an emphasis in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, and I want to finish with this, I've brought it out a few times in this audio, of the uniqueness of our walk. God and Abraham, you and your God. And it's quite often that we want to look at those around about us. And I want to conclude with this little thought. Abram certainly did take all the souls that were gained with him. But the walk was intensely personal. And I therefore conclude today by just reminding us that really it's not for us to ask about all the others. Now in our case, all the other Christians who perhaps may not embrace right division as we do, and who may in fact want to call us names like they invent that one, remember, hyper-dispensationalists, or, you know, there'll always be somebody that will not agree with us remember, they have their walk as well. They are on a journey with their God. They're on a walk of faith. And it's not for us to manipulate their journey. It's up to us not even to like them. You know, we're not to like them, but we're to love them, aren't they? And to be gracious and to be kind to them. The person on the intensely personal walk, I'd like to bring out from Numbers chapter 14. Now, in Numbers 14, we have the failure of faith. Remember when Israel got to Kadesh Barnea in the Promised Land? God told them to go up and take it. 11 days from Mount Sinai. They could have been in the land on the 12th day, you know. But no, they got cold feet, didn't they? Faith wasn't strong enough. You know, you didn't see Abram saying, well, hang on a minute, Heavenly Father, you know, how am I going to get to the land? I don't have enough camels. What about the robbers and thieves on the way? Oh, no, not with Abram. He got up and he went, correct? And God caused the children of Israel to get up and go into this land. But they didn't. They got so discouraged by the information they sent in spies. You see, wanting technical information, that's not faith, is it? And then they said, oh, no, let's make a leader and return to Egypt. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly. And two other people, tore their clothes. Do you see the difference in reactions? Here's Joshua and Caleb. They went in and searched the land. They tore their clothes. They spoke to all the assembly saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceedingly good land. And if Jehovah delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. How many people are proclaiming the land of milk and honey here? What have we got, 1.5 million people? I don't know, I'm guessing. Don't know accurately. How many's preaching? Do you see that? Are there times in your witness when you feel like you're an individual trying to shout with a megaphone at a football field that's blaring loud music? It's very difficult, isn't it? Two people. Individual walk, you see. Encouragement was offered here by Joshua and Caleb. Do not rebel, says Joshua and Caleb in the next verse. So let's see what happens to Joshua and Caleb. In verse 30, God speaks about in verse 29 what he's doing with Israel now. They're going to wander in the wilderness and their bodies are going to fall, do you see, in that wilderness. All those that murmur against God, they'll fall. We're not making any conclusions about those who don't have a walk of faith. We leave them with the righteous judge. Nothing to do with us. You know, when we go to funerals, everyone wants to know if the individual's saved or not. And we're going to determine whether or not the person's going to get to heaven or not. I think I'd be safer just leaving everybody in the hands of the righteous judge, wouldn't you? Because he knows the intents and thoughts of the heart. We don't. We only hear what they say. You shall certainly not come into the land which I swore to make you live in, says the Lord to the children of Israel in Numbers 14, verse 30, except Caleb and Joshua. Do you see in Abraham? He had faith and he made a step. Joshua and Caleb went in, they saw it was just exactly as God had said, and they had faith. And they were rewarded for it. The private and intensely personal journey that you and I take has its personal rewards. It has within each and every one of us the joy of knowing God more closely and knowing more deeply the Word. I can swear to you, friend, after 35 years of Bible study, I have no regrets at studying the Word. It's been a joy to me to know it. And it's something for me to rejoice in. I'm building my altar spiritually and worshipping my God for what he's revealed to me. You be prepared for the same joy, friends. But it's a journey, and we have to make a step, don't we? Verse 38. Many died as the Lord dealt with his people. But not Joshua and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and Nun. No, they didn't perish. Not at all. They were preserved in it all. And in Numbers 26, do you see? Chapters now have passed. Verse 65. More deaths. But God doesn't forget Joshua and Caleb, does he? And there was not a man left of them except Caleb and Joshua. Chapters later, chapter 32 of Numbers, verse 12. None of those who came out of Egypt entered into the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 32, 11 and 12. You know, friends, when we make our walk, when we make our commitment, when our journey of faith requires steps of faith, then God knows and God remembers. In that favourite verse of mine given to me by an old saint who is no longer with us, and it's a nice verse out of Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those fearing the Lord spoke together, do you see? Each man to his neighbour. And Jehovah listened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared him and for those esteeming his name. The Lord remembers and knows each one of us who exercise faith by walking without having all the answers. I hope this has been helpful to you today. And it was a very simple lesson, lots of simple things in it. And of course you've had your own thoughts as we've been just chatting along here. But the moral of this story, if you will, or the theme of this story is that God has likewise spoken to you and I today. We have been given by the hand of the Apostle Paul a calling. We have been given a wonderful inheritance, and God has revealed it to us. In Ephesians 1:3, we are told quite clearly that our blessings are not on this earth. They are spiritual and in the heavenlies. Now, that is a statement by God that we need to embrace and believe. That's the first thing. We need to recognize that the heavenlies, or the heavenly places, is where Christ is raised and seated at God's right hand. This is where our blessings are. This is the word of God for us today. We need in Ephesians 2 be assured that we have been raised up together and seated together in the heavenlies. In Christ Jesus. It's all in Christ. This is God's call for us as believers today. But embrace these things. Accept them. They're given to us through Paul. We may not have all the explanations. Let's start our journey and pursue these things. Let's set our affection on things above. That's our walk of faith today. And coming back to that glorious future, Abraham did become a great and mighty nation. It didn't happen immediately, did it? It took time for God to bring these things to fruition. And like us, we've been raised and seated in the heavenlies. But there's time required, and there's time coming when, in fact, we will be all that God has determined us to be. In the meantime, let us set our affection on things which are above. Let's seek them where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Be mindful on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Do you see? Abraham didn't look back from whence he came. He looked forward, didn't he? And he came to a point in his life that his faith was so strong that he was ready to offer up his own son. You see? That's the strength of faith that you and I can also anticipate as we walk, believing what God has said. We will be mindful on things above, won't we? Not on things on the earth, for we died, and our life has been hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with him in glory. We, having been raised and seated there, will in fact be manifested with Christ in that sphere. That's our journey's goal. And may God give each of us today the grace and the strength to walk our walk, not walk for other people, not walk worrying about other people. We walk loving them, but we walk focused on the calling that God has given us. And may he indeed receive all the praise and glory in that walk from each of us. And we thank you for your patience and your care today. Father, we love and praise you and bless you for your being and your ways. Who is like unto thee? Father, may each of us take courage today and continue this walk of faith that you've given us. Not to look back. Not to look back to Iraq in Abram's case. Not to look back to Egypt in Israel's case. But as Paul says in Philippians, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forward, Father, for that glorious appearing, for that great prize, for that great reward of this calling. Give us today, Father, the encouragement to keep going. Whatever the circumstances, whether it be the enemies in the land, whether it be famine in our experience, Father, we look to you and we bless and praise you for the strength we know you'll provide. And to you be the praise and glory in all things. Amen.